Hey there, everybody. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm your host, Ken Schneck. This is episode number 354. As always, you can get in touch with us by dropping us a line, send an email on over to ken@thisshowisogay.com, stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com to learn all about the fun things happening with our little gay radio show that could. You can follow us on Twitter. The handle is thisshowisogay. And of course, go on over to that Facebook. Type in This Show Is So Gay, like us, because we sure as heck like you. We have an incredibly jam-packed episode for you this week with not one, but two guests. Let me introduce the first one to you right this very second. Paolo Presta is a talk show host and actor, and I think just the total embodiment of what it looks like when dreams come true. From his unbelievable backstory featuring Oprah Winfrey, which we will talk all about, to his appearances on Will and Grace and General Hospital, to his own insanely entertaining talk show, this is one guest who truly has an energy that is going to inspire you. We are overjoyed to have him here with us. Paolo, welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
Thank you, Ken. Thanks for having me. What an honor. I'm number 354. That's a lot of episodes.
It's a lot of episodes. Great. And when we said, well, 354, who would be our guest? Well, naturally, of course, it would be you.
What an honor. Thank you. Thank you, guys. It's so good to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
We have so much ground to cover. Are you ready, sir?
I am so ready. Let's go.
Let's do it. Well, your path to the entertainment industry, it's kind of like the thing of legend, Paolo. I'm going to ask you to retell the legend a bit, but first let me just ask, do you get tired of telling it? Does it feel just as magical as it did so many years back?
It feels as magical as it did like the first time I told the story. It really does. Like, it's going to be 12 years this November, and honestly, it feels like the queen of talk show was in my father's grocery store like the other day. Like, I never get tired of telling the story. I really don't.
It's crazy. Now, for folks who don't know the story, that's not a euphemism. The queen of talk shows really was in your father's grocery store.
Yeah, she was. It was a Thursday morning, and I was just working at customer service. You know, my father has a grocery store. All the kids are part of it. You know, we're Italian. That's my father's dream. And it's just something that I didn't want to do, but I've done that for like, at that time it was like, you know, 14 years. And, I just didn't know how to get out of it. So I would be writing letters after letters and emails and to Oprah Winfrey and to the show and asking if she can help me make my dream come true. You know, 'cause I'm like, I need some help here to make my father understand that I have this other passion of working in the entertainment business. And then that Thursday morning, Oprah Winfrey herself came inside my father's grocery store with her whole crew and surprised the heck out of me, as you probably remember from the reaction.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Now, let's back up a step. So you're writing all of these letters and emails to Oprah. Now, this is not your therapy session, although I'll bill you for it if it works, so we'll just put that out
right.
There. But what were you thinking in your head? Was it an outlet for you, or were you really visualizing something is going to come of this?
Me being a big fan of her and the show, because growing up in Chicago, I would go to the taping twice a year, and I knew what this woman could do. And I, coming from my family, I know that they're not going to understand that I really want to be in working in the entertainment business. So I'm like, how do I do this? So I was just writing letters, and I truly, truly believe that if Oprah Winfrey or someone at her show would just get a letter or just see me or know me, why wouldn't they want to help me? Like, this has to happen. So I just wrote I literally wrote hundreds of emails and letters, you know, and I would mail them and just saying, is there a way to help me? Like, I had a dream show, which was Will and Grace, and it would be such an honor to be on that show, just to, even if it was one line, two lines, you know, to get things start going, you know, and then, like, it was just a part of me. Like, I knew that it could happen if I just put it out into the universe. I just knew it. It took a long time, but it did happen, you know?
It totally happened, and then there you are on Will and Grace.
Yeah, crazy. I mean, like, it's just crazy. Like, because then she came to my dad's grocery store. You know, that was such a big moment. And then the next thing I knew, a couple days later, they flew me to L.A., you know, to be on Will and Grace. And I played one of the lawyers in Will's law firm. And it was like just being on the set, meeting the cast, like, and the director. It was just mind-blowing. Because it's like, this is what I've dreamed of. And, you know, here I come from this big Italian family, and I'm being flown to L.A., you know, for the first time. It was just everything I could dream of. It was amazing.
Now, I know it was a dream come true, but I have to ask you, as you are appearing on This Show Is So Gay, how gay was that experience of being on Will and Grace?
I mean, look, it was the best gay thing ever, but the funny thing is, I wasn't even out to my father, like, I wasn't out to my dad at that time. I mean, I was out years before with my mom, and I came out to all my siblings. I have six siblings. But with my dad, I just, I at that time, I didn't have the courage to tell him. So I remember when they gave me the first line on Will and Grace, the director, you know, it was great. And then they added another line, the director, which kind of got me nervous because the line was, at least I'm not the second gayest lawyer here. And right away, I thought of my father, like, oh, my God, my father's going to watch this show, and I'm going to say the word gay on there. And I was really nervous because I'm like, oh, no, oh, no. Even though, you know, this is, like, the best thing ever, that, you know, they're giving me another line. But deep inside, because I wasn't out to my father, it really freaked me out. Like, because, you know, like, oh, why is he, I'm going to say that word gay, and my dad doesn't know. But it was the best experience ever. It really was.
Wow. I mean, it's kind of a thing. You could be the guy who came out to his father by being on Will and Grace.
I mean, really, right? Isn't that, that's so perfect. I mean, I came out to him like a couple years ago, and when I came out to him, I really did it for myself, even though I was so nervous. But that was just like the stepping stone that really helped me to get that strength and courage. Being surrounded by these actors, you know, it just really gave me the courage that in time when I was ready, I was going to, you know, come out to my father and tell him.
Yeah. I mean, you have people, hey, how'd you come out? Oh, over Thanksgiving dinner. But for you, oh, yeah, no. It was, I was on Will and Grace, and I love it. That's awesome.
It is the best. And I said the word, and there it is. I'm out. Yay.
Unbelievable. Well, I totally immersed myself because let's turn the tables full circle around. Then years later, who were you interviewing but Oprah Winfrey?
Oh, Oprah Winfrey on a web show that I have. Like, it's, I mean, it's just mind-blowing because this was, that was our fourth season. We're currently in our fifth season, but that was our fourth season. And I tried for a long time to get her because I'm like, that would be such a full circle moment. And then she agreed to do it. And it literally, when I had interviewed her, it was on the Oprah Winfrey Show stage right before she sold Harpo in Chicago. It was 10 years since she made my dream come true at the time. So like, it was such an honor to have her. It was a 45-minute interview. I mean, I got to sit in those old chairs that were there. Like, I got to sit on them. I mean, it was. I don't know, like, when I say dream big, you got to dream big, and you never stop dreaming big, because things keep coming, you know, when the door is open, and you keep putting it out there.
How did you even focus? I mean, I've been doing this show for 8 years, and I've certainly had some guests where I'm thinking, what the heck am I doing being able to talk to this person? But, you know, I've had my lapses in focus, but I haven't talked to Oprah.
I think everything happens like the way it's supposed to happen, because I tried getting her for the first season and of our show, which was back in 2011. And I'm glad that her team said no, because I wasn't ready. But then when we came to season 4 and she was episode number 75 for us, and you know, all our stuff, our episodes are on camera. So, it's, you know, it's a little bit harder because it's on camera. They have to be in hair and makeup. You have to find a time, it's a conflict. But with her, that had happened, I'm telling you, it was amazing. And was I nervous? Yes. But the minute she came onto that stage, because I was already there, and she walked on, she said my name in that Oprah voice, Paola Presta. You know, when she walked in there, I'm telling you, the nerves went away, because she makes you feel so comfortable, so good. And she is there listening to you. And I mean, it was great. It was great.
I have enough to worry about preparing these interviews. I can't deal with the visual element. The idea that you have to pick out an outfit, that overwhelms me.
It's scary. It's really, because it's like, what do you wear when you're going to wear, you know, interview Oprah Winfrey? Like, what do you wear? So like, I had my outfit ready, picked out for like a week. Because we only had 7 days to prepare for this when they gave us the okay. Because we were in New York. At the time, even though we're based in LA. And so we had a week to get back here, prepare for this, and then go to Chicago and do the interview. But I had like my special shoes that I haven't worn, that I've been waiting for this interview. So like, it was just so much fun. Like, and when I watched the interview, it's like, oh my God, wow. Like, we were there, like my husband and I, cause it's just us two who work on the show. It was like, we were there. Like, we were a part of this. Like, it's beyond my wildest dreams.
Incredible. Incredible. Well, let's back up a step. Let's talk about A Spoonful of Paolo. What would you say that you are trying to do with this show?
To help inspire people to live their dreams. When you go on the website, you see our bios, you see what the show's about. It's about dreaming big. And why is it about dreaming big? Because my life is full of dreams. And you just don't know what's going to happen to you when you put it out into the universe. And I tell people, if my husband and I, we can do this web show, you know, it's just two people, you know, who do the editing, the booking, the photoshopping, the questions, and every, you know, it's just two people put this all together. You know, I'm like, you could really do anything if you really, if you don't give up on it. You know, I have a lot of friends in the industry, a lot of friends who have asked me for advice. Oh, I want to do a web show. I want to do a web show. What do I do? What do I need to prepare? And I am so open and I want to give you all that help. You know, but then I see people, you know, and my friends who have given up because, yeah, it is hard. It is hard. But if it's something you love, you know, the work is a part of it. And I just, that's what I want to inspire people. When you watch our show, look at these guests that we've had on, Robin Roberts, Oprah Winfrey, you know, LaToya Jackson, Kelsey Grammer, you know, Ricky Lake. It's just like these people come on to our show and it's just my husband and I. So I'm like, if there's something you want to do, do it. Just do it.
Amazing. I would like to believe that working with your husband, there is never a tense moment. Tell me if that's true.
Well, you know, we have them. We have our moments. We do. But the thing is, it took time to figure out what he's good at and what I'm good at. And then we bring that together and it just becomes the show then, you know, because we're always learning during our show. I mean, we just taped our 105th episode with Neil Bardellos from My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, and we're like, wow, like we really have come far, but it's like we know what we're good at. We bring it together. And the thing is, we really do have so much fun. And I think that's what the audience sees. They can see that with the way we produce it, there's just a lot of fun. There's games. There's gifts at the end. Like, you know, and it's a lot for, a, you know, 10 to 15 minute episode, but we try to really put the heart of it in there. And also the dream of not just me, but whoever we have on our show, be inspired by whoever it is that our guest is.
Well, let's pull back the curtain a little bit because you are the one that we often see right there on camera. I will give you the floor to sing the praises of Patrick, who we don't often see on camera.
Yeah, people always wonder, like, you know, because I do mention his name when we do the episode, like, you know, like I always talk about him, but he's the man. You know, we've been together for, it's going to be 9 years in June. We just got married last summer in Pasadena. So like it's so much fun working with him, but he is the man behind the camera. He is the man who's doing the lighting, the editing, you know, and that takes so much time. I'm not a technical person. He is, you know, he's good at doing all that. And then I, you know, can stress over the booking, you know, doing all the research, and then it's me in front of the camera. But I think with both of us, what we do together, it just comes out. You can kind of see it through the episode. But I love my husband. He's amazing. And he knows it. He knows that. So
there you go. I love it. Now, we do learn about ourselves through some adversity. I know that doing a show like this, and I don't even have the visual component, sometimes, I don't know if you know this, Paola, sometimes technical things go awry. I don't know if you've had that experience. Yeah. Talk to me about one of those experiences that you've had and how you navigated your way through it.
Well, technical, it was our first episode. We had Sharon Osbourne on our show, who's on The Talk, and she was our first guest. And I, you know, I at the time, I was in charge of, like, the mics and stuff. And I don't know what I did wrong, but when we started the interview, I thought I had turned the mics on. So, but for some, and you know, but that's what I thought I did. So we were so happy. The interview went well. It was our first one. We're like, oh my God, let's go out and celebrate. We came home, and then Patrick's putting everything onto the laptop. And then I see right away his expression on his face. I'm like, what? And he said, there's no volume. There's no volume. The mics didn't work. I'm like, what? He says, they were turned off. And I remember that feeling of, oh my gosh, did I ruin our first episode? You know, yes, we did get the audio from the cameras itself that records, but it's, you know, it's not professional. The volume is different. It's very echoey. It's just different. It's not from the mic that you get when you mic the celebrity guest. So I just remember that feeling of, wow. And that for me was life changing because since then he knows that I don't do anything technical. I don't do the mics. I don't do the lights. I don't do the recording. I don't download anything. That's his, because it's just, he knows what he can do. Like I said earlier, and then I know what I can do. And that's something I can't do. I just can't. It was awful.
It's a hard feeling because, of course, when you're interviewing someone else, it's like, oh, but someone else is involved, and how do I explain this to them?
Right, Ken. It's like, what am I going to tell Sharon Osbourne?
Right.
Hey, can we retape this again? She did her part in giving you the interview, and then it's like, then that's it then. And now you're on your own, and you have to be the one to figure this out. So And that's what we did.
It's hard. It's hard stuff. I remember when I had to tell Carney Wilson, there's a power outage and we need to start over. And I'm like, I'd rather just never do the show again.
Oh, my God. Isn't Carney great? She was on our show, too. Isn't she just a great person? Like, I love her so much. So humble, so sweet, and funny.
I am obsessed with her, but I grew up with Wilson Phillips, so talking to her again, this is the thing. This is the difference between you and I, and I'm sure there are many, but the difference between you and I is that I can sit here in the studio and just be freaking out with my mouth open, and it's not to say that you do not show incredible and infectious enthusiasm, but you have to, at least to some degree, visually keep it together. I would not be able to do that.
It's hard. It's so hard. The minute, you know, we tape some of these episodes in our home studio where we live here in West Hollywood, but sometimes depending on the guest, we go to them. Like Oprah Winfrey, we went to her. Robin Roberts, we went to her. So it just depends who it is. But when they come here and we're waiting and waiting, and then I have to go outside and get them with their team and stuff, I do get I'm like sweating a little, like, oh my God, here we go. And then Patrick's in the kitchen. He's watching from the kitchen window what's happening outside, because, you know, we have the side street where you can see everything. And it's just like, they come into our home. It's so, even till today, yes, we've taped 104 episodes, but it's just mind blowing to me that you and I, like, you know, Ken and I, we're involved in this and we get to do this, that what we love so much. It's crazy.
Yeah. No, I remember almost saying to Carney Wilson, listen, you're the last ever guest. I'm never doing this again. It was mortifying. It was totally mortifying.
Right. You know, when Carney walked into our home, we taped the episode. It was so funny because she came to our studio. But the thing is, she thought it was a podcast because people were telling her, oh, you should be on Paolo's show. You should be on Paolo's show. She's like, I'll do it. Then we emailed each other. She came here. When she walked into our home, she saw all the cameras. She's like, whoa, this isn't on camera? I'm like, yeah. And, you know, and she looked fine. Yes, she wasn't in, like, complete, you know, makeup and hair done and all that stuff. But she was a sport. She's like, you know what? Let's do it. And she did it. And it was just so much. And she made me a cake. She came here and made me a cake. It was amazing. It was amazing.
I love it. Oh, that's amazing. So now, from episode one all the way up to your latest episode with Mary Lou Henner and Michael Brown, which I enjoyed immensely, how would you say over that amount of time that you have evolved as a host?
I think the listening has become a big part of me, listening to them. The thing is, when I get nervous of the celebrity, not in a bad way, like just excited, I get so excited. I think in the beginning, when I would watch episodes, I would see me trying, what's the next question? But then I remember, like, just, you know, from watching Oprah all those years, what makes her the best host out there is because she would really listen. And I think when I started really, really, truly, truly listening to them and just not worrying about what I'm going to ask them and just go with the flow, I think it changed me in feeling so much more comfortable with them. And it's just a growing thing. And when we're done with the episode, the first thing I do is I look at Patrick and he gives me an eye, like it's an eye signal. And I could tell it's a thumbs up. Or a thumbs kind of halfway, you know, it's because I always tell him, be honest with me and tell me, you know, I want to know what I can learn from, what I can improve from, not the things I do good. I want to know what can I improve from. So I think just definitely growing as a host and listening has been just a big thing for me.
Amazing. Amazing stuff. Now, it strikes me, again, you have this visual element that, thank God, I don't have. It strikes me that you are a bit of a fitness aficionado as well.
I mean, I kind of have to be. I mean, but I just, because I don't eat the best, you know, like I don't eat the best. Like I eat, you know, if you know, I eat a lot of sweets. Sweets for me, I grew up in an Italian family and that's what I love. So I have to try to, like, you know, and I have to go to the gym. I don't want to go, but my husband and I, we try to push each other to go do our workout. And, you know, because, I mean, when you leave the gym, who says, oh, I wish I didn't go to the gym? You always say, oh, I'm so glad I went, right?
Right.
So, like, it's just something, it's a part of me, and it makes me feel better, and not just physically, but just emotionally. Like, going to the gym, whether it's 4 days a week or 3 days a week, just makes me feel like I've accomplished something as well during the day.
Now, let me just tell our listeners this. Folks, if you are trying to diet or you're trying to just improve your physique, I would not recommend going to the recipe tab on aspoonfulofpaolo.com because that will in no way help you.
It's true. I know. You're so right. But, you know, I love baking. One thing I love using, one ingredient is Nutella. It's a hazelnut spread. So I live off that. I've been having that since I've been like a little kid and taking it to school with me, like as a, in a sandwich. But now I bake with it and stuff. So I just love, love, love baking. I love eating desserts. I mean, my birthday was just the other day. It was on Monday. I celebrated my 40th birthday. And I'm telling you, that whole week leading up to this Monday, I have been having sweets like crazy. And people have been sending me things knowing that I like sweets. So like in our kitchen, I have so many things going on. And it, I'm telling you, it makes me happy. But yes, I have to go to the gym and do my workout, you know.
I half expect to go to your website and have it say, A Spoonful of Palo, sponsored by Nutella. I expect to see that.
I know. Everyone keeps saying that. You know, we have to work on that. I have to work on getting a hold of them and letting them know that. Because I can't tell you how many times people tweet me or even Instagram or tag me in a photo saying, I have to try Nutella, because I still get shocked when I hear people who say, I haven't tried Nutella. So then they want to tell me and tweet me and Facebook and whatever. And then like, oh my God, Paolo, I tried it. And I tell like 98% of the time, they love it. And then they hate me because then they're addicted as well. So I feel like I'm doing my job. I'm doing my good deed.
You are a Nutella brand ambassador. It's a resume builder. I would put it on there. I would absolutely put it on there. Now you, sir, have a theme song.
Yes.
That's pretty exciting. I would wake up in the morning and just say, I have a theme song. Is that how you encounter it in your life?
Yeah, I mean, because it's really the theme song of it is When an Angel like made my dream come true. So obviously, it's a 15-second theme song. So the angel, obviously, when you watch it, it's Oprah Winfrey. We don't have her face on there. I think we did the first season, but then as the show kind of got a little bit bigger, we just decided not to use her face. We just decided you see the back of her. She comes down with the wand and stuff. So in the intro of the theme song, so I just love it because it's just, I want people to get inspired by it, you know, and you look, the truth is not everyone's going to have Oprah Winfrey coming into your life and waving this wand and making a dream come true. But the thing is, you can do it yourself and figure out what you need to do to make it possible. You know, she made my dream come true and I was on Will and Grace, but I wanted to keep it going and doing other things, you know, because it could have all ended on Will and Grace, but I chose not to. And I really, really just wanted to, because I love living my dreams. I love putting it out there and I love waking up not knowing what's going to happen, you know, with an email or, you know, someone calling you or with a guest to get on the show. So I love living my dream and I want other people to be inspired by the theme song, by me, and go out there and just live it, because it will just fulfill you. It will make you so happy.
Nice. Now, one of the things that comes up over and over on our show over the past 8 years is just this idea that even with our guests who are living their dreams, there still perhaps are some moments where it feels like more of a chore, where you have to reinvest. Talk to us about just keeping things fresh for you and working through maybe a day that you're like, all right, I know I have this interview, but it feels like a lot right now.
Yeah, you know what? My intention for each episode is always to make it different. And what I mean by that is, like Mary Lou Henner, you know, her book came out yesterday. My intention was to make this episode different from all the other interviews they do. Because the thing is, these celebrities, they do so much press when they're promoting something. So I always want to make sure it is different. I don't want to ask the same questions that the Today Show, The View, The Talk, that they're asking the guests. I want it to be different. We want it to have a game that goes with the celebrity. Because sometimes on these daytime talk shows, you see them playing a game, but it doesn't really go with the celebrity.
Right.
Or it just, sometimes I feel like it's wasted time when you have some big name on your show. So we just try to keep it fresh by our game, a game that relates to the celebrity, and also talk to them, but a conversation that's different from all the other conversations that they've, you know, that they've done during their whole press tour and stuff. We try to make that fresh, different, fun, you know, for them and for us as well. Because it could get kind of like, you know, playing the violin. You know, you just want it to be different.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, if folks want to go over to BuzzFeed, they can see quite a bit of you and Patrick.
Crazy. BuzzFeed has been so good to my husband and I. I'm telling you, they've been, you know, it started out doing one little thing and then they made us do kind of a whole like series of our relationship. And it's, I mean, and who doesn't love BuzzFeed? I mean, they get millions of views. And it was such an honor. It's an honor to be a part of that and to do videos with them. And it's just fun because it's Patrick and I being ourselves together, and the reaction from all of their viewers is amazing. Like, it's amazing, like how supportive and how much they love us and seeing us together, because we're just being ourselves doing these videos.
Yeah. Oh, it's such great stuff. Now, what is coming up for you that you are excited about?
We have two. So I have one on Friday. We have two guests. I'm really excited because I am a huge fan of Jane the Virgin. So we have the leading man from the show on CW show, Jane the Virgin, who plays Raphael, who plays somewhat the boyfriend of Gina Rodriguez, the Golden Globe winner. So he's on our show on Friday. And then next week we have one of the Dancing with the Stars couple currently, Val, and then Ginger Z from Good Morning America. They're a couple on Dancing with the Stars. So they're going to be our guests as well. And I'm excited because I love watching them on Dancing with the Stars. Like, it's a good show. And it's been around forever.
It's been around for so long and still is so entertaining. Yeah. Where can all of our listeners go to follow all the great things that you're doing?
You can head over to spoonfulofpaolo.com. www.spoonfulofpaolo.com.
Nice. Now, let's end with a little learning annex with Paolo. For all of our listeners who, you know, they hear, gosh, I want to follow my dreams, but I just don't know where to start. Start our listeners off on that path to following their dreams.
Make sure you're surrounded by people who support you, people who are going to inspire you, people who are going to say, go with it, do it. You know, because that's what I have to be surrounded by, with people telling me this could happen, believe in yourself. You need that motivation, and you can start small. You don't have to start big. You know, you can start small and do a to-do list or write it on there, you know, and then maybe try to get things accomplished every week. So if there's something you want to do, do it. And when someone says no to you, because it's happened to me many times, it's okay. You can just go a different route, because I can't tell you how many guests we've had on our show and their own publicist has said no to me, but Paolo always thinks of a different route and to get the guests on our show. And I can't tell you how successful that has been for me. So just don't let someone telling you no stop you from living your dream.
Did you just use the third person? Because I'll master that if it works.
Do it. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Well, let me talk about you for a second, sir. I am endlessly entertained by, I love watching people interview people that they are clearly passionate about. You are interviewing guests about whom you are clearly passionate. And the one word that pops up for me over and over again when I see you doing your craft, because it is indeed a craft, is that you are authentic. You are so accessible to all of the viewers out there because you are so 100% authentic, and that in itself is so inspiring for all of us to see.
Oh, thank you. That's what I hope to be doing. I just want to be myself and, you know, and putting it out there and just putting it out there. So thank you for saying that. It means the world to me, Ken. I really, really do appreciate that. And that's the thing, is I try to get guests that I want to get that I'm watching their show, because it's hard. I don't want to book a guest that I'm not watching their show and I have to go back and watch five seasons of some show that they're on. I really try to get guests that I really get excited, I really can't wait to talk to, and then, you know, and let the viewers and their fans and our fans see it. So thank you for saying that. That really does mean a lot to me.
Listeners, please stroll on over to aspoonfulofpaolo.com. We will certainly link to it. All our best to Patrick and Paolo. Please keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on your show. Thank you.
All right, folks, and we are back with our second amazing guest of this week's show. Let me introduce him. David Milburn is an actor, a producer, an activist, and now a game show host. David's notable screen appearances range from parts in Gods and Monsters to Texas Rangers to In Her Line of Fire, which I enjoy, to From Here On Out from our great buddy Terry Ray. David received an Emmy Award nomination for producing The Ribbon of Hope Celebration, which we're going to talk all about, and he is now a co-creator, a producer, a co-director, and the host of Mod Couples, the first original game show on Here TV, America's premium LGBT network. Right now, he's here with us. David, welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
Hey, Ken, thank you so much for having me. It makes perfect sense because, you know, this show is so gay, and my new month couples game show, that show is so gay and so straight.
There you go. You're like combining all the worlds.
Gay and straight.
See? What? We're going to cover it. We're going to cover it. But first, hey, let's dial it back. We're going to go back to the start. When little David Milburn was running around Indiana, was this the goal to get into the entertainment industry?
It was always the goal. My first audition song was Happy Birthday for a production of Amish Acres in Napanee, Indiana. Do you know Amish Acres in Napanee, Indiana?
I don't.
I was auditioning for a show called Plain and Fancy. And, you know, I mean, it started there, and I had the unique pleasure, actually, to go back to Napanee in the Round Barn Theater and do Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat as Joseph. I mean, years later after I had established my career, so it was like a real homecoming. But basically, then my family moved to Ohio. I know you're from the Buckeye State.
Indeed.
I live in the Buckeye State. And then on to Miami Beach, where I, at that time, as a teenager, New York was kind of a suburb of Miami, and all the New York advertising agencies would want to come down and shoot their commercials in Miami to get out of that horrific winter. And I got picked up. I auditioned for this McDonald's commercial called Glasses to Go, playing a counter boy and singing and dancing. And, you know, from that, my dad said, you know, David, you know, you've been in the community theater and, you know, in your high school and whatever. Why don't you just go for it? Why don't you just say, I'm not going to end up 40 years old and say, what if, what if? So my father really gave me great advice. And I went for it, and after, you know, making a lot of money with the Glasses to Go campaign, McDonald's picked me up again to introduce their Sunday. Do you remember when they had Sundays and they introduced their Sunday Smile?
Of course.
Where you got frozen ice cream in a nice little glass. Well, I was their Sunday Smile campaign, so that was my second campaign. And I said, you know what? I love this so much. And then I went to Northwestern and studied theater and minored in radio, TV, and film. And then on to New York, and I was one of the youngest people to work with Lee Strasberg at the Actors Studio in New York. So I really got serious at that point, you know, the method actor. But, you know, I'd never been west of Iowa at that point. I said, you know, maybe instead of being cold and hungry and jobless in New York, I'll at least be warm in California. So I made my trek to California.
Wow. You know, we've talked to so many of your colleagues over the years who are in the entertainment industry, and I'm looking at your IMDb page and seeing all the great things that you've done. What does it take to succeed in this industry? I don't think I have it. I think that you guys have to be relentless in a way that I would be exhausted by Tuesday. What does it take?
I think a perseverance.
Yeah.
Beyond any perseverance you've ever known. And I think a desire to be authentic and tell your story and be able to put your energy and being, especially with it, being an actor, into understanding your character, whatever character you're playing, into understanding who and what he's about. And, you know, growing up and in my training, you know, we all have the ability to be a Hitler, and we all have to be the ability to be a Jesus Christ, because there was a composite person of, you know, whatever Jesus Christ was, or we know who Hitler was, because those were human beings. And the ability to step inside somebody else's shoes and walk that walk and tell their story is really understanding all humanity in a way. I think that that's kind of the driving force of being an actor for me, because I love to not judge, but understand, you know. And if we could all do that, I think that that's why art, all art, is so universal. Because if we do what we do, we can bring about a commonality, a universality of the human experience. I know that gets very heady.
No, that was good.
But you know, I mean, Ken, I think that's it, though. I mean, that drives you to say, you know what, it's about that experience and telling those stories. That's that's what really gets me up in the morning. You know?
I have heard tale that perhaps one element of being in your field is occasionally, just occasionally, encountering that beast called rejection. Now, I can't imagine that the personal embodiment of the Sunday smile has ever really encountered that. But let's just say for this show, is that something that you have had to navigate through?
Oh, you know, I mean, yes, of course. And you just, you know, you walk out of an audition and all you want to do is eat a pint of Häagen-Dazs ice cream or Ben & Jerry's or whatever. They're not promoting our show right now. yes, of course. And you have to pick yourself up and get back out there the next day. But, you know, as I've, I've spent so many years in this because I started so young, you know, what I've learned is, you know what, if they don't understand my point of view or what I'm trying to bring to this role, or if they don't get my good, move on.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't want to really work for them anyway. I'll just go create my own show or my own movie or produce something and put myself in it. But I think that is that type of attitude. You know, if you don't understand what I'm doing or what I'm bringing to this role, then maybe, you know, we shouldn't be working together.
There it is.
So, you take your power back. You know, I always say, and if there are young actors listening, I always say, you walk into that audition room, and your subtext, meaning what you're not saying, but what you're feeling, is when you shake their hand and say, hey, I'm David Milburn, you go, hey, I'm David Milburn, I'm here to solve your problem. Your problem is that you need to cast this role with a terrific actor. I'm here to solve your problem.
Yeah. Wow.
And if you walk in with that kind of power, you know, and I've seen it from the other side now, you know, and then you leave the room blowing them away with your reading, all they do is like, wow, what was that? Let's get that back immediately. Let's call that person back. Because you come in with your power, you show your skills, you solve their problem, which the problem, again, is to cast that role, and you walk out the door.
Huh.
You know? And whether they get your good or not, again, whether they get your good or not, that's for them to decide and make a decision one way or the other. But I find that that's very helpful. Come in with power and blow them away with the reading and leave with your own power.
That blew me away. I just decided to cast you, and I don't even have a project to cast you in right now.
I'll take it. No,
that's amazing.
No, let's create something, Ken. Let's create a project.
Very exciting. I'm like, all right, I have a problem, and David Milburn's going to solve it. The only thing I can think of right now is that my garbage disposal is broken, but I don't think you're in the running for that part.
Well,
but you could
you
be.
Know what? It's funny that you would bring that up, Ken, because that's exactly... You want a plumber. I mean, you know, for your audience... You want a plumber that comes in to your house with his bag of tricks and his bag of tools and has passion for plumbing.
Yeah.
And he lives, breathes, and eats plumbing. And those are the people that you want working on your garbage disposal. You know? I think it goes throughout all of people's, you know, jobs. I mean,
absolutely.
You want a passion-filled person. Because they will be, you know, they will get the job done in such a way that somebody who's just punching a clock, you know, will never do. And that's what actors bring to the table. And I think that that's what anybody should bring, any laborer, anybody with a skill should bring to their job, passion.
Nice.
You cannot let that not be a part of any equation. As far as I'm concerned.
I had always thought I would create a project first and then cast it. And look how it just happened in the opposite direction with David Milburn. I love it.
Yes.
Let's talk about some specific projects. I have to tell you, Gods and Monsters, one of my favorite films of all time.
Thank you. Yes, yes. I remember working with Bill Condon, the director, and Serene McKellen. I played Serene McKellen's doctor in that. And, my mission, my task in that role was to imprint that James Whale was going to die. He was in the last 2 weeks of living. And Ian was like, oh, no, it's too early in the script to know that, he's going to die and the audience is mad. And stormed off the set in a very nice way. But Bill said, no, we're imprinting with this scene with David that you are near death, and that's the way it's going to be. And I saw at that point a director who really had a vision, who knew what he wanted, and sure enough, Ewan came back to the set and decided to do it exactly Bill's way, and it got 3 Oscar nominations and won one. So, you know, again, passion, a vision, and Bill knew exactly what he wanted to do. And
nice.
He said, look where his career has gone.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Speaking of passion, tell everybody about the Ribbon of Hope celebration.
Well, that's something that's near and dear to my heart. It was a program that celebrated programming through the Television Academy that brought to light the HIV and HIV AIDS awareness. And we celebrated those programs that did. And through the Ribbon of Hope, which was aired on Here TV, and my partner, Paul Collishman, certainly is, he is the maven. He is the captain of all the Here Media empire. He believed in that. He opened up his checkbook and said, you know, let's make this a television special. We produced it for 2 years, and on the second year, we brought the first Emmy nomination to Here TV, and we were up against the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade, which won that year. You know, 83 years of tradition and a lot of hot air is what I say, but it's like, what? We're doing important programming. We're highlighting these wonderful shows that are speaking to, you know, the HIV epidemic, and they, you know, if you think of a camera, you put the camera here, the parade starts down there, and it goes, you know, across the camera, ends there. It's like, what? You know, but, you know, we were very, very honored, and I was very honored to be Emmy nominated and bring the first one to the network. Now, since then, Here TV has gotten 3 daytime Emmy nominations, so those folks really do great programming over there.
There you go. There you go. All right. Well, listen, before we get to the game show, which we're going to get to because I'm so excited, we used to do this segment with our musical guests, our singer-songwriters, where I would give some songs of theirs. I would name some songs on the air, and they would have to tell our listening audience what these songs said about them, you know, about their life, about their approach to this work. So I'm going to put a little twist on it for you. I'm going to name 3 projects in which you have appeared, and you need to tell our listening audience what these projects say about David Milburn. Are you ready?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I went to the vault on this one. Project number 1, what would you say Cyberella Forbidden Passions says about David Milburn?
It says to me that I was a young, struggling actor at the time, and anytime you can get in front of a camera at that point, you go for the gold. Every time you're on a project, you go, this is my Oscar, this is my Emmy. I'm going to bring all of my talent and skills and commitment to this and passion to this project. And Cyberella was one of them.
You know?
I got to make love to some of the love scenes in that thing. I got to pretend and act like I was a straight person.
Nice.
And that was kind of interesting. And, yeah, so that's what it is. I mean, I remember I used to bring all my early projects back to my parents, and I said, you know, Mom, Dad, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? And my mom would always go, oh, David. My dad would go, you know what, David? I could see why you did this project.
Nice. I love it. See, you're good at this game. You're good at this game. I'm only going to make you do one. I'll make you do only one more. I'll give you a choice.
Yeah.
What does either Ice Spiders... or, of course, the best name movie of all time, Chupacabra Terror. You can choose between those. What does it say about David Milburn?
It says that I like to work with hairy things.
There
I
you go.
Both of them. A big old hairy spider and a big old hairy chupacabra. Again, these are niche films, and those both were for the Sci-Fi Network, and I just love to throw myself into things, you know, I just jump in, and that's what I do. I mean, I think that's what a journeyman actor does, throw me in there, and let me succeed, you know?
Wonderful, I love it. See, you won that game. And speaking of games, listen, if I were you, and right now I'm pretending that I am you, I would wake up every morning and say, I'm a game show host. That's like a dream of mine. Is that always been in the back
really?
Of your mind? Oh my God, you've no idea. Is that something you've always wanted to do?
You'd be a really good one, Ken. I just can feel it. I can feel your passion. you know what? It's so interesting because I've done a lot of red carpets in my career, and it's always been actor David Milner. Well, I was at the GLAAD Media Awards a couple of weeks ago, and suddenly it was TV personality David Milner.
Nice.
It's like, oh my God. I've become a TV personality, which was, it's interesting because as an actor, you know, you're only kind of as good as your memorable as your last role, you know, but a TV personality has a lot more longevity, don't you think?
I would say so. Tell everybody all about Mod Couples.
Well, Mod Couples is really, again, a labor of love. My partner, Paul Collisham, and I love to play games and at home. You know, we play board games. And we were playing a game with some dear friends of ours, a straight couple. And we just said, wow, you guys are just like us. Yeah, you guys have a couple speak too. And it's kind of fun to engage with what your lives might be as a couple. And then, so we kind of just started thinking about creating some kind of a vehicle that we could show that couples, be they straight, be they gay, transgender, whatever, we're all alike. We all have the same couple speak. So said, let me think about this. And I'm head of development for Here TV. And so we started creating this game. I brought Terry Ray on, who I love.
Love.
And Terry and I created From Here On Out, and I produced that. And we had such a great experience with that on Here TV that we started creating this game. And lo and behold, we created a game show, but it's really a comedy show. My co-host is Olivia Harewood, wonderful a comedian,
yes,
who's actually got some Hollywood royalty going on for her. She's Dorian Harewood's daughter.
I did not know that. Wow.
Yeah. So she's a riot, and what we've created is like this comedy show where we expose each couple's kind of intimate, you know, pillow talk, couple speak dumb, if you will, much like Newlywed Game meets Tattletales, and the overall message is, oh my God, all couples are the same. And especially right now with marriage equality being the law of the land, thank you God, we're able to send this message out through laughter and through comedy that all couples are the same and you don't need to be afraid of a gay couple.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the rounds is we have a kiss-off where Olivia and I decide which kiss is hotter, the straight kiss or the gay kiss. And I don't know if over in the flyover states if a lot of television audiences have seen, you know, a gay kiss, but they do now, you know, when they watch Mod Couples. And I think it's just a wonderful message saying, you know what, don't be afraid, accept us, we're all alike, and just have fun and laugh.
Now, I would be a little bit nervous to be in any way associated with Terry Ray and a game show because he's like the gay game show king. I'd be nervous he would take over the whole project.
Well, you know, like I said, Terry and I have worked very well together on From Here On Out, and we laughed our way through that project. So there was nobody else that I wanted to bring on board except Terry Ray, and then we've continued to laugh through Mod Couples. It's just, you know, to see these couples come alive. And, you know, Lydia and I just, we're improv comedians. We just kind of like react and go with the laughter of what these couples, because you can't write this stuff.
No.
I mean, you can, we write the questions. Terry and I write the questions, but the responses and what we get, what we elicit from these couples is just hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody can go on over to Here TV. 6 episodes are available there. They're streaming on Here TV's Hulu channel, YouTube's premium channel. So someone watches the episode and then they move on to another project in their life. So as soon as they finish watching the episode, what would you like people to walk away with, David?
Well, it's interesting. And the show is really resonating. We premiered March 5th on Hulu and also Here TV. And the next day, we were one of the 10 top most popular shows on
nice.
Hulu. I mean, pretty amazing.
Yeah.
The next day. And we have since hit that barometer 22 times now. So people are watching the show. They're laughing, and many people say to me, you know, I watch one episode, and all I want to do is binge watch and watch you know, 5 more, which is such a high compliment. And I think, you know, what I want them to take away is literally to be entertained, to laugh their heads off, which they're doing, and also just kind of get comfortable, especially with straight people, that get comfortable if they don't know about gay people so much, you know, and know that it's all right. You know, we're the same.
We are. And I love that you guys are doing that through a fun format that everybody can engage in. I will tell you, and Terry and I have talked about this many times on the air on this show, I am such a game show fanatic. This was so much fun because, as opposed to some other game shows that I've watched over the course of my life, I felt like I really got to know these couples, which was super fun.
Yes. That is real. You're very astute because that's what we really focus in on. It's not about me as a host or Olivia. It's about getting to know these couples, you know, the intimacy, the pillow talk, what their relationship's about. I mean, when in our round, that's super awkward. I mean, that's pretty interesting that we have the opposite couples dancing in the background, so we get to see them dance, you know, while their mates answer the questions, and then we'll elicit these super awkward answers. You know, it's really fun just to see them be real and authentic, and to see their pillow talk splashed across their faces.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a show that gets very intimate very quickly and makes us all laugh.
Good stuff. Good stuff. What is coming up for you, sir, that you are excited about?
Well, my movie that I produce, which I'm really, really excited about, Hush Up, Sweet Charlotte, was purchased by Vimeo and is available on Vimeo now, out of Sundance. Mink Stole, Viola Jean Merman, myself, just a lot of fun people. It's a comedic parody of the 1964 Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte, with Matthew Martin playing the Betty Davis role. And that is now going to play at the same time on June 3rd on Here TV and also on Hulu.
There it is.
So folks can tune in to Here TV and watch Hush Up, Sweet Charlotte, as well as on Hulu, our Hulu channel, and watch that as well. Really, really a fun, fun movie. And we premiered it at the Castro in October of last year because that's where we shot the film, in San Francisco. And 1,400 people sold out.
Oh, wow.
Laughing their heads off. It was really a loving homage to San Francisco as well. So that's why we did the premiere at the Castro. And you get to see Viola Jean Merman playing a man. There's Stan, the construction guy. We said, well, who are we going to cast for this? Like, why don't we cast Jeffrey, a.k.a. Viola Jean Merman? So you see him, you know, as a hunky, hairy, you know, shirtless construction worker, as well as the Viola Jean Merman playing Viola, you know, his Viola Jean Merman character playing the Olivia de Havilland role.
Nice.
So,
nice.
Fun stuff.
And listeners, you can stroll on over to davidmilburn.com. There's a lot of fun content over there. Listen, David,
Thank you. Here's
the deal. You inspire me. I love that you have all of these different projects out there, and you clearly, I knew this before we chatted, but I don't think anyone could listen to this chat and hear, holy cow, this is a guy with passion. And you bring that passion to whatever project you're working on, and I thought Mod Couples was just so entertaining. And again, listeners, all 6 episodes available on Here TV, as well as various streaming services, including Here TV's Hulu channel and YouTube premium channel. David, you're doing good stuff, man.
Well, Ken, I can't wait to create with you. So let's bring some passion to a project that we want to do together.
You've already been cast. Let's see what happens.
Ken, thank you so much. And again, your radio show, thank you for reaching out to folks like myself and really providing positive role images for the LGBTQ community. I really, really thank you for that.
All right, folks, and we are back. Well, we pretty much have no time left on this week's episode. I did want to get to one pretty darn cool story out there. This comes to you from the New York Times. The White House is considering the creation of a national monument to the gay rights movement on a small piece of Greenwich Village parkland across the street from the Stonewall Inn, where a 1969 uprising helped inspire the push for equality that really sparked everywhere we are. Now, the Interior Secretary Sally Jewell and other federal officials are scheduled to attend a listening session next week in New York, during which supporters of such a park will make their case. The advocates include Senator Kirsten Gillibrand and Representative Gerald Nadler, both Democrats from New York. This is a quote from Kristen Brangle, the Vice President for Government Affairs at the National Parks Conservation Association. She said this quote, "We are excited about this, and we do think that the president should move forward on it." Robert Atterbury, a spokesman for Mr. Nadler's office, said the National Park Service has completed a, quote, reconnaissance survey on the Greenwich Village land known as Christopher Park, a routine step before making any recommendation to the president. White House officials said no decision had been made. President Obama has the power to create national monuments, as he has done repeatedly during his two terms. The push to create a national park or monument near the Stonewall Inn is intended to recognize the protests that erupted at the Manhattan Bar after the police raided it in the summer of 1969. Those spontaneous protests are viewed by many as the beginning of the modern gay rights movement, although historians have noted that, of course, and we've talked about this before on this show, Is So Gay, there was much that happened in the movement before Stonewall, but that's where it entered so many minds of the public, entered the public consciousness in a way that really hadn't happened before. So this is pretty huge. I mean, imagine all of those middle school trips that you took to monuments, or maybe in high school, whenever you took school trips to monuments. I remember going to the Intrepid there in New York City. It was one of the most boring trips I've ever been on. With, of course, no offense to anybody who has ever served in the military, thank you for your service, but that Intrepid, not such a fun trip. But can you imagine for kids to encounter a national monument for LGBT rights? It really could make such a difference. This is what we talk about all the time. If we normalize this history, if we put it into the history books alongside all the other major events that have helped us express who it is that we are as Americans, Stonewall would really be up there. It would inspire the masses, not just the LGBTQ kids, but everybody. So we will certainly keep our eyes on that. Very exciting news. Hopefully President Obama creating a monument to gay rights right there in Greenwich Village in New York City. That's it. That's all the time we have for this week's episode. Our huge thanks to Paolo Presta. If you have not watched him do A Spoonful of Paolo, it is so enjoyable. You will smile all throughout. His energy is so infectious. He is so authentic. And of course, our thanks to David Milburn. Go check out Mod Couples, just a great game show. Not just a game show, but it's entertainment. That's what a game show should be. Check out Mod Couples, and you can watch that on Here TV or on Hulu or on YouTube. Very enjoyable stuff. We have another new episode coming at you next week with some incredible guests. But for now, you know what to do. Get out there. Go use use your voice the way you know how to use it to make a difference for your LGBTQ and ally brothers and sisters. While you're out there using your voice, while you're out there making a difference, please remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?